It's just a joy having you here tonight, and I trust our being together, you know, to God's praise and for God's glory. You're singing extremely well, and the choir did a rather good job tonight too, because the organ and the pianist too, they all blend in together and just bring out that wonderful melody that stirs our hearts and draws our hearts out to the Lord Himself. Now, this morning we're looking at a very important theme. That theme is a new relationship. A new relationship. We have looked at a new revelation in John chapter 14, verse 3. Lord Jesus says, I will come again and receive you unto myself where I am. There you may be also. Then we also looked last Lord's evening at a new road. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We started this morning with the theme, a new relationship unto the Father. Unto the Father. The question is often asked, are we not all God's children? No, we are not. God is the creator of all mankind. He is the Father only of those who have believed on His Son. That's found clearly and distinctly in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26. Now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. A time when we were not the children of God. For the Lord Jesus one day spoke to people and said, ye are of your father the devil. John 1 verse number 12 says, but to as many received him, to them gave he power, the legal right to become, time when we were not, to become the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now there it is, and beloved tonight, a tremendous theme, this wonderful new relationship. I trust all of us here have come into personal contact with God, and we look up and say with all sincerity, our own dear Father. Because when Christ comes in by His Spirit into your spirit life and mine, Galatians 4 verse number 6 says, the Spirit within says, Abba, Father. Now notice, it's the Spirit of the Son who says, Abba, Father. Romans 8 verse number 9 says, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. Now here's the question. When did the Spirit come into your heart? Sometime after conversion? 1,000 times no. When my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. The moment you believed on the Lord Jesus, He died upon that cross, not only for you, but instead of you, and you owned Him, your Lord and Savior, and you received Him by faith into your heart. That moment, you became a child of God. And further, you became the possessor of eternal of eternal life. No, all mankind are the possessors of everlasting life. And are going to live on everlastingly in eternal bliss in the glory or eternal woe in hell. But they're going to live on. Death does not end. You're no afraid you're going to live on in eternity. Now, only those who have received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, are the possessors of this eternal life. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. So in John chapter 14 again, verse 6, may I repeat it? Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Matthew 11:27 says, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son doth reveal the Father. So not only am I going to know God as my Father is true, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I trust that's clear as crystal to you tonight. And you'll act upon what you've now seen by divine revelation. And own the Lord Jesus, your Lord and Savior, even by faith into your heart. For remember, when Christ comes in, you become the possessor of this eternal life. Now I want you to turn not to the gospel, but to the first epistle of John. Continue along the same line, and the very third chapter. The first epistle of John. Did I say not the gospel? Well, I mean that. And I'll tell you why. Some time ago, a young couple back in Britain were being married. I'm in Scotland. I was down in South Wales conducting meetings there. I could not get back in time for the wedding. The weather was terrible. And so I sent a telegram. On telegram I put, hearty congratulations. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. But when the telegram arrived at the wedding reception, the best man read or turned to Gospel of John chapter 4 verse 18. And you know what he read? Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he was not thy husband. So, not the gospel, it's the epistle, chapter 4, what, 3, and verse number 1. Here it is. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, you Bible students are aware of the fact that in the gospel, the gospel is written that you might believe, that you might believe. But the epistle is written that you might know, because you have believed, you are the possessor of eternal life. Look again at 1 John 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are. You see, we're a people of dignity. We are the children of God. We're a people without a match. We're a unique people without the shadow of a doubt. People of great dignity. What prestige, what honor is conferred upon us because we're children of God. Think of being born in the royal family. And think of the royal blood surging through your veins. What an honor that would be. My friend, how highly you're esteemed. You're honored. You're a person of great dignity. I've got a great regard for the royal family. But that feels insignificant when you tonight recognize you're a child of God. This should bring a real spring into your step, a gleam into your eye, a glow about your whole bearing. You're a child of God. Never be, my friend, ashamed to tell people you're a Christian, you're a child of the living God. There's nobody like you. You're the possessor of eternal life. You're the eternal Spirit indwelling you. You've got a glorious prospect, both in time and for all eternity. And to God, the Word says here, what manner of love is this? Have you been able to discern this love? What manner of love is this? That we should be called the sons, the children of God. We are a people of dignity. Same verse, we are a people of distinction. A people of distinction. See what it says? Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. We are a distinct people. We are a unique people. We stand alone. My friend, tonight we are a people offer his own possession, his own special treasure. We belong to him. When the worldling can understand you as a Christian, there's something wrong with your testimony. We are a distinct people. We're a new creation, having new appetites, new desires, new ambitions. And as a newborn babe, we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. An evangelist, why, were asked to go to British Columbia from Ontario some time ago for ministry. The brethren did a very wise thing. They arranged for them to have a bedroom on that beautiful train called the Canadian. It was beautiful inside and outside. When it's coming into a divisional point, the train's all washed down and sponged. It comes in shining into the station. This particular day, the wife is upstairs in the observation car, beholding the majestic scenery going through the Rocky Mountains, and it really is majestic. The preacher's in his bedroom, reading, writing, studying, praying, all in view of his ministry on the West Coast. See, it takes 4 days and 3 nights by train to go from Ontario to British Columbia. And the preacher got up from his work this day, went out in the corridor, standing looking out the window at the majestic Rockies. He saw there the grizzly bears. He saw the elk. He saw the deers. He saw the rabbits. It's coming away from the noise of the train. Then he came aware of somebody standing beside him. And looking down, he saw there a delightful little girl. And this particular evangelist is very fond of little girls. So he said to her, "Hello, how old are you?" Says, "I am 7. Then said, Sir, are you Jesus?" He felt the strength going from his legs. He picked her up bodily. He said, "No, darling, I am not Jesus, but I'm a Jesus man." "Oh," says, "Sir, I've been watching you. And you're different other men in the strain. I thought you must be Jesus." He's showing a distinction between the other men. It was the Christ life revealed in him that drew that little girl, 7 years old, to recognize something of Jesus in that man's life. Tonight we're a people of dignity. We are a people of distinction. Please let that drip down into your heart. We are a unique people. We're a people without a match. We stand alone. In fact, the Bible says we're a peculiar people. Now you say that's more like it. But that doesn't mean you're a square, not an oddball. You, my friend, are a people of his own possession, his own special treasure. You're a people beyond the ordinary. A people beyond the ordinary. Beyond the ordinary in our birth. We're born not of blood, not of the flesh, not of man. We're born of God. We're beyond the ordinary in our relationship. We're now the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're beyond the ordinary in our citizenship. Our citizenship in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're beyond the ordinary in our companionship. Our companionship now with the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit, and with all who are of a pure heart call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, beloved, we are a distinct people. We are a people beyond the ordinary. So please remember that, and don't bring, my friend, a low standard in any way. Remember, you are a child of God. And especially in your phraseology, be careful what you say and where you say, and especially in the assembly. Remember, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the assembly, in our business life, our professional life, our home life, we recognize Him as Lord, Lord over all, blessed forevermore. And we pray that our lives day by day may be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. Now we can do that as Christ lives within. However, you can say tonight triumphantly, "Oh, what a salvation is this, that Christ liveth, He liveth in me." The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse number 20, which is my favorite verse in the Bible, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth, he liveth in me. And like which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then I also say, not only are we a people beyond the ordinary, but a people for his own possession, his own special treasure as a child of God. Many years ago, we were living just outside Birmingham in England. I got home from an evangelistic campaign. Peter, who's much younger then as he is, than he is now, I often wish him back the time I'm thinking of. But anyway, he was next door to the Baptist minister's wife on a lawn. She was entertaining him some particular way. When she saw me going through my garden gate, said, Peter, look who's going up your garden path. When the wee fellow saw me, got through the fence, came running down the pathway, I dropped my case and waited for him. He threw his arms around my leg and looked up and said, my own dada, my own dada. These words, my own, have never left me. Never left me, my own dada. And beloved, tonight the Lord looks upon each of us saved by grace. Now, children of God, you're my own special treasure. You're my own by redemption. My own by sovereign right. My own by eternal covenant. You're my own by precious blood. Oh, look up tonight and say with all sincerity, love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Not only are we a people of dignity and distinction, we are a people of destiny. A people of destiny. See what it says in verse number 2. We shall be with him, and we are going to be like him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Yes, we'll be worth looking at in a coming day. We're going to be like him, all conformed to his image, all have his nature of light and love. What a moment it's going to be for the Lord. When he gathers his bride, his blood bought possession home, he says, Father, look at them. Aren't they lovely? Aren't they lovely? He will be like himself. They're altogether lovely. And my friend, I love that, don't you? And the Father will rejoice. Father, there's not one missing. We're all here, Father. All who trusted me, I've kept, Father. You gave them to me, and I've kept them. And Father, they're all here. Aren't they lovely, Father? I repeat, all conform to his image, all having his nature, blood and love. What a moment is going to be for the Lord Jesus. When he's got his blood-bought possession there, then he shall see the travel of his soul and be completely satisfied. What joy will be the joy of the Holy Spirit who has wooed us and won us and brought us to the Lord Jesus. What joy will be your joy, believer, and my joy. Here now in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, his that I am there. We are a people of destiny. We know where we're going. And where are we going to arrive? Isn't that beautiful? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yes, he's going to present us one day the Father without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Won't that be wonderful? And we are his wife, friend, the one who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the face of his Father with exceeding great joy. That's what it means to be a Christian, a child of God. Are you tonight a Christian in the Bible sense, not a religious sense in the world? And the Bible says a Christian is one who's got Christ living on the inside. Christ living on the inside. You see, it's not churchianity, it's Christ in unity. You won't find that word in the dictionary, by the way, the word I've coined. But isn't it a good one? Another good word, not churchianity, but Christ in unity. No longer I, but But Christ liveth, he liveth in me. That's what it means to be a Christian. Christ living on the inside. Not simply on from without, but the outliving of the in-living Christ. And we are not Christians, lest Christ is living on the inside. And there'll be a moment in our life when we receive them by faith into our heart. Again, same the chapter, verse number 3. We are a people of duty, a people of dignity, a people of distinction, a people of destiny. May I pause here and ask the question very softly. Are you tonight sure of your destiny? Are you sure of your destiny? Is tonight's day shall its clammy hand upon your heart and call your way? Are you sure you're going to be in heaven, where there's unspeakable joy and pleasure forevermore, where there's eternal light, eternal blessing, and my friend, eternal union, no separation, no parting, no tear, no sorrow? Are you sure of that? If not, I advise to make sure tonight. During the days of the jesters, when the royal family had those who played the fool before them, trying, my friend, to entertain them, one of the Jameses had a very famous jester, and he really pleased the king and the royal family by his acting. One day the king gave him a very special walking stick with a silver top and said to him, George, if you ever find a greater fool than yourself, then give him the stick. Sometime afterwards, some years afterward, the king is dying. He sent for George, not to play before him now, but to wish him goodbye. So he says to George, I'm going on a long journey, and I'm not coming back. Your Majesty, where you're going? He said, George, I don't know. George asked to be excused. Half an hour afterward, he turned, ushered in the king's presence with a stick. Said, sir, you remember giving me this stick and said, if ever I came across a greater fool than myself, give it to them? Yes, George, well, I'm giving it back to you. For you to go on a journey and not know where you're going, you're a greater fool than I am. Now, that is a true story. I look around the delightful group of intelligent people tonight, telling various aspects of your life, alert, intellectually bright, but great academical standards, very religious, refined, cultured, good social status. Do you know where you're going tonight? If not, I tell you lovingly, you're a greater fool than George. But I should stop and consider and come into personal contact tonight with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, tonight we're a people of distinction, a people of dignity, a people of destiny, and now in verse number 3, a people of duty. For see what it says. I want to read this because I misquote it. Every man that has this hope set on him purifies himself even as he is pure. I'm a people of duty. This has a purifying effect. No man or woman, please get this, will ever tell me that expecting Christ to come back at any moment was not going to desire to live a holy life. It's a contradiction in terms. Those of this hope said, well, purify themselves even as he is pure. Yes, it is pure. Isn't that lovely? A purifying hope. A people of duty. A young couple back yonder in England became engaged to be married. He said to her, darling, I feel I ought to go to Australia and make good. Now I'll come back to you as soon as I possibly can. She wasn't very happy about the idea. Anyway, he set sail and he went to Australia. Because each day a letter came from England, one from Australia, and I being in England, they were very much in love with each other. Jordan was plentiful then than they are today in that great country. I've been there 8 times. It's a delightful country. Anyway, he got a job. And he began to make quite a lot of money. Now, with the money he taken from Britain, money he's now earning, he bought a piece of ground, began to build, went on building and building and building. And he got the roof is on, the furnishings, the color scheme, all the drapes, all in view of what he feels she would like, all in view of the coming of the bride to live there with him in the home he has now built. Do you see the cable? I'm on the way, arriving in Southampton a certain built on a certain day, for she's now concerned, everything took color in view of the day when he's going to arrive during the night. Great line of steam into Southampton Harbour. Hundreds upon hundreds of people there waiting for their friends and relatives. But there are two young people oblivious to everybody else around them. One young fellow looking over the side of the boat. One girl looking up, where is he? Where is she? Where is she? My friend, can you imagine as their eyes met what it meant? Can you imagine what went on in those young hearts? There they are, my friend. They're so much in love with each other. Now, the entirety of them, now they're going to meet. I was going along this line to a conference in Quebec some time ago. I asked the congregation, what do you think happened when their eyes met? A voice from the congregation said, he jumped overboard. I thought he meant he committed suicide. Wasn't that at all. He was just so keen to be with her. Didn't wish for the gang with if we'd down. No, he meant he just jumped just to be with her. So happy to be there. He didn't do that, by the way. My friend thought he would have done that. Anyway, the gangway is down. Comes down the gangway, and the guy, my friend, she crushes through the crowd, and they meet, they embrace, they hug each other. And all the joy, again, looking in each other's eyes. All the thrill, all the excitement. And she said, oh, he kept his promise. He's come back for me. It's wonderful. He's come back for me. Then she says to herself, I'm so glad I did not flirt around with other boys while he was away. I'm glad I kept true, sincere, and loyal to him. Now she can look with delight and complete authority and confidence into those eyes. Our lovely Lord has gone away. If I go, I will come again. And the telegram's gone out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Hey, we should meet him tonight. Would it be my with confidence, with delight, and adoration, and love abounding in her heart? May I ask you lovingly, or are we tonight flirting around with the world, with the world's politics, the world's religions, the world's pleasures? And are we so weaned away from all that, we look up and say, Lord, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill, that fix my eyes so holy, Lord, in thee, with thy beauty occupied, I henceforth none may see. Then you say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away. Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come today. You're weaned away from all else, and you're magnetized to Jesus Christ, and you're demagnetized from all that's unlike Jesus Christ. May I get those 4 points across to your heart with my heart tonight? I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking to my own heart too. Tonight we're a people of dignity, a people of distinction, a people of destiny, and a people of duty. Now I'd like you for just for a moment to turn over to the 5th chapter of this same epistle. Remember now, you are a child of God. You come through the gospel. You believe on the Lord Jesus, receive him by faith in your heart. His Spirit now is indwelling you. If you will, please look at verse number 9. John 5, verse number 9. I wish you are just beginning my message now, but I see my time is getting very close to closing. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. The middle verse of the Bible says, It is better to trust in the Lord than with confidence in man. That is Psalm 118, verse number 8. And Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. On the back of a British pound note were written these words. Now listen carefully. This piece of paper in your hand declares to you that on demand your 20 shillings shall receive. This simple promise you believe. It saves your mind which rests, though the money you possess. So Christ, who died and now doth live, does unto you his promise give, that if you on him do believe, eternal life you will receive. Upon the first you safely rest, which is safer, which is the best. The bank may break, heaven never can. You're safer trusting God than man. Isn't that true? You take the witness of God, man, the witness of God is greater. Now that's a natural fact that was on the back of British pound note. Now verse number 10, same chapter. He that believeth, ETH, believing and continuously in the present continuous tense. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. See now his spirit within you, when with your spirit you are a son, a child of God. Romans 8 brings it out clearly and distinctly. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Notice this now, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Here's the record, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. Now you believe on the Son. He died instead of you, bore the penalty against your sin, and he rose again from the dead for you. You may be justified and reclaimed. And you say, Lord, I thank you. Now I receive you. Come into my heart. Now listen, if you're not the possessor of eternal life, then God is a liar. I speak to him, God is a liar. And you know it's impossible for God to lie. Isn't that true? Look at the verse again. Middle part. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his Son. Verse 11. And this is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Notice this now. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you received the Son into your heart? Then that you are the possessor of this eternal, this spiritual, this heavenly life. Now this is, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But how do I know? Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not ye may feel, or think, or hope, or maybe, you know you have eternal life. Why? Verse number, first line of the verse. These things have I written unto you. You're taken at his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My friend, you've seen the word tonight. Exercise faith in that word. Believe what you're hearing. Receive Christ into your heart, that you become the possessor of this eternal, this everlasting life. It's yours, here now. May God give you grace to realize this. Trust him tonight. Own him your very own Lord and Savior. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One more verse. And now I'm just going to read it to you in close. The third chapter of John. Third chapter of John. In the very last verse. That's the gospel by John now. The very last verse. Notice again the expression, believeth on. He that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. He that believeth not the Son, please notice, shall not see life, but the wrath of God aboundeth on him. That verse is in two parts. There's a bottom and there's a top. Where are you tonight? In the bottom part, you believe not on the Son of God to save your soul. Then, my friend, the Bible says, you shall not see life. For only life is found in Jesus Christ. He said one day to a crowd of people, in fact, the only time Christ ever complained, John 5:40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They had the physical, the natural life, but needed spiritual life. They only find that, not in religion, not in church membership, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. May I read the verse just once more and close. Read it with me if you've got it open. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, the Revised Version. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Continue in a case of spiritual death and the wrath of God abiding on him. Please, oh please, tonight come from the bottom part of that verse in the top part by simply believing on the Lord Jesus. What must you believe? On the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God bless his word in all its simplicity and all its mighty power. The heart of saint and sinner alike tonight, may not one leave that knowing Jesus Christ, the Lord and our Savior. There's no button holding, not in due pressing. We're here to help you, you possibly care to wait. I want God to come with back with you to your home. Only to be happy, be of service to you. Be concerned about spiritual matters. May God bless his word to our heart tonight.